It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is one of your hosts, Amanda Teagarden, in studio with Don Wyatt.
Glad to be here. It's a beautiful day here in the heartland, and we are in sympathy with those back on the northeast in that terrific kind of out-of-season snowstorm that they got dumped on yesterday and today. There's some people going through some hard times, and we'll be remembering them in our thoughts and prayers.
Didn't they get 2 feet of snow, you said?
Yeah, it's over 2 feet in some places. Off in nearly the entire New England area, it was a foot or more.
Well, that'll be a storm that they remember for quite a while.
Set a lot of records.
We are broadcasting from the great state of Oklahoma, and we are in particular in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And our website, or the OK Safe website, is ok-safe.com. That's ok-safe.com. Lots of good information there. Don oversees a website called boondoggleblog.com.
Correct. Exactly. And there's a couple of new posts there. If some of you were listening to our broadcast last week when we had Ken Yazel, the county assessor for Tulsa County, here in studio with us, talking about some of the issues of ad valorem taxation, would be interested perhaps in follow-up. We had him as our guest speaker at the Tulsa 912 Friday morning breakfast meeting, and the audio of that is currently available out on Boondoggle Blog. So there's a lot of information that one can go get.
And you may be interested to know that what's happening in Tulsa County is probably happening in your county, regardless
Absolutely.
Of where you are. So it's good information, regardless of where you live. On the OK Safe website, there's a lot of information there, and we're currently in this state going through a series of joint legislative committees to look at the impact of the federal health care reform law on Oklahoma. Now, you and I both know, Don, that the real reform law was the stimulus bill.
Yes.
And that what was called Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, is really kind of like the enforcement of the others that was already implemented.
Yeah, it's shocking. The more we learn about what we had already agreed to through our representation in Congress, put the structure in place.
It did.
And we're just now learning more and more about what that structure included.
The purpose of this committee is to hear from all sides, and OK Safe has been allowed one of the slots, and we will be presenting our position on the IT, the information technology and security and privacy issues, and that will be on November 4th, 2011. This is podcast, so the date will probably be passed whenever you happen to listen to this broadcast.
I can almost guarantee that that will be available for people to listen to, though, after the fact. I know we'll pick it up and put it on Boondoggle. It'll probably be available in other locations as well.
That would be great if that could be posted someplace. It will become part of public record, and we hope to get the word out, because this is not unique to Oklahoma. Your state is engaged in the same activities. It will be posted on the OK Safe website as well. We've been tracking the hits on the OK Safe website, and I tell you, one of the most popular pages is the one on the Hub Zone scams.
Interesting.
And China Connection is the next one. And what we're talking about today has to do with land rights, property rights, sustainable development, and all those other issues we've been fighting. And we're privileged today to have a special guest with us to discuss that, what's happening in California. And it's important to watch what happens in California, because what happens there happens everywhere else.
Exactly. It's always the leader or the guinea pig on social change.
It is. And that poor state has been under assault from the environmental interest groups for a long time.
Absolutely.
And the people are suffering tremendously. And our guest today is the founder of an organization called Defend Rural America. .com. The website right now is under construction, but keep posted, because it should be back up with a lot of good information in there. They are associated and friends with the Freedom Advocates,
right,
which we've had Michael Shaw on before, and the others who are in the battle against the implementation of sustainable development policies across this country.
Right.
Our guest is Kirk McKenzie, the founder of Defend Rural America, and he's going to tell us about what they've been doing up in Siskiyou County in Yreka, and he's going to tell us where those are in California. Kirk, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, and thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you very much for being our guest, and I'll just let you carry the ball here. Tell us about Defend Rural America, the event you just hosted recently, and what your goals and the mission is of this organization.
Well, Defend Rural America is kind of the outgrowth of a trip I took a couple of weeks ago. I'm actually located in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm an activist here. I'm also the author of a book called Money, Defending Your Prosperity. And I've studied the world for the last 20 years, so I think I understand things pretty clearly. And so I decided to go after the problem, which was the money, and go after the monetary system. But at the same time, we need to also be defending ourselves in other issues. So I actually put out a YouTube video called How to Take Our Country Back, which has been fairly popular, to try and give people a strategic view on how to go about doing this. And I was invited up to Siskiyou County to spend a few days at a ranch, and ended up being scheduled to interview and to film some 40 people up there, ranchers, and from that made a decision to do a whole lot of things. One was to make a documentary film. The second was to develop the website, get a Facebook account, get a Twitter page, and try and bring other people up from the Bay Area to join our rural brothers and sisters in the battle they're fighting, and try and awaken the idea that the people out there that comprise the 95% of the country that are generally, you know, rural, they don't have much population, they don't have very many attorneys, God bless, they don't have much money. And when big government moves in on them, which they're doing across the nation, they're hard-pressed, frankly, to fight back. And I think that I wanted to try and awaken in the rest of the country the awareness of just how serious the problems have gotten and how it's going to affect all of us. And so that kind of began the genesis of the idea to Defend Rural America in a broader context. We pulled together an excellent team, people principally up in Siskiyou County, to help get this whole thing launched, and planned a meeting October 22nd in Yreka, California, as a kind of a launch both for the idea as well as to help to pull the community together and the organizations to fight back against what's going on there, which is the proposed removal of four hydroelectric dams. And the meeting was superb. We had, I did a premiere of my documentary film there, which is kind of educational and lets you actually see the people themselves telling you about their problems. And then we then had a panel where we had seven sheriffs from counties all around Northern California and Oregon who stood together and in no uncertain terms said that they were going to defend the Constitution and their pledge, their oath of office, and make sure that the federal governments were operating in accordance with the law and with the Constitution. Everything received a standing ovation. We had probably 1,000 or more people there that were assembled. That was a pretty big group of people. We had done quite a bit of work to try and bring in and unify probably over 50 organizations that were in support of this, including Michael Shaw, who's an excellent individual. And so we had all this support, and when we got to the event, one of the questions I asked the group was how many of them were outside of Siskiyou County, and I would guess probably a third. And that was music to my ears, because here we are beginning to see a unification of people who stand together, and rather than sit down and take this stuff individually or these small communities, we began to organize and work together. So it was a superb, superb launch of the event. Couldn't have been any better.
Congratulations.
And I hope it produced good there.
Yeah, congratulations. You might be queried by some folks for input, advice, and recommendations on how these kinds of things can be done elsewhere. There are a lot of urban areas where the people are just blissfully ignorant of what's going on in rural America, and you're right about some of the impositions and hardships that are taking place there.
Yeah, they're what's going on is crazy. So sure, I'd be glad to help out. I mean, eventually, this originally just started out as an effort to help Siskiyou County, and I, you know, in seeing that, you realize it's part of the Agenda 21, the Wilderness Project, and so forth.
Right.
and you realize that this is happening across the country. And I'm watching the news now, and I'm seeing dam removals every week. I think another one was blown up 2 or 3 days ago.
That's exactly right. And I saw it too.
Just led up this big mud hole. So you know, this is a battle, and you know, so the idea kind of behind Defend Remote has grown to the idea that what we need to do is organize as widely and as broadly as we can with the activists across the country. Whoever's fighting these battles needs to start communicating real time with each other and exchanging ideas and strategies and experiences so we can fight back in a unified way.
The point of what you're doing is that it wasn't the people, it wasn't in their own backyard. They were helping the neighbor, the urban area was helping the rural area, which is a significant partnership, because a lot of times the urban areas are, and their representatives are really trying to get the people out of the rural areas, right, into the suburban areas. And as you mentioned, you kind of touched on that rewilding, right, of America. For our listeners who are not familiar with the Wilding of America project, the rewilding effort, could you explain that, please?
Well, it's, you know, up there, and I think broadly they call it restoration, which sounds like a wonderful world to restore it. What it really means is to blow up the progress that we've been making over the past 100 or 150 years and utilizing the resources to support mankind, to blow all that up and kick the people off the land and push them into high density, concrete jungles, if you will, and take away their cars and so forth. It's just an incredible difference in vision. So it's hard to believe that that's the case, but it is. So, this whole idea that's couched in these beautiful words like open land. Open land does not mean, in their mind, a farm. It does not mean a ranch. It means, wilderness with no people on it. That's open.
Well, those wolves have to be able to migrate uninhibited.
Yeah, uninhibited, unimpeded. Corridors and all that.
Well, isn't it probable that their hope is that by eliminating dams, they will create more wetland areas that they can then take federal control of?
Well, in this case, what they're doing and laying claim to the water is they don't just say, this part of the river, they say the entire watershed. So what they're actually talking about is the Klamath Basin watershed, or however people want to refer to that. Right. It's an area that's greater than the size of Maryland. And what's being developed is to put this under an agreement, which is called the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, which is authored by a set of so-called stakeholders. And this language should start to sound familiar to those who know Agenda 21.
Exactly.
Stakeholders are not the people who live there. I mean, they're people, some crazy green conservationists in Portland, Oregon, some Indian tribes that have something, they're going to get $80 million out of this deal that don't even live there. Big government agencies, etc. And they're looking to get the approval of Ken Salazar, the Secretary of the Interior, to approve this agreement and actually give it a federal mandate. And when they do, what they have in effect done is created a brand new government which takes over control of that state of the Maryland area and no longer has any control by the local cities or counties or even the state of California. It now becomes a federal, basically a new form of government to be managed by these so-called stakeholders, and the people who actually reside on these lands and have water rights will forget all that. So it's happening here, it's happening across the nation, it's happening across the world. There's a new model to replace our representative government with these kind of regional bodies that somehow seem to replace the idea of representative democracy.
It's astonishing. You can say those words out loud and the vast majority of the population will stare at you like you've lost your mind. And then you start doing the research and find out that what you had already learned was going on was just a tiny sliver of what's really already in place.
That's correct. The interesting thing to me, I've studied this for 20 years, and, I think I understand it probably as deeply and as broad as anybody on the planet, to be honest with you. And, people do look like you, actually like you're a Martian, so you just kind of have to wait until they have a problem. here are these independent people in a rural place. They're used to taking care of themselves. They like their freedom. They don't want anybody else to bother them, and they don't bother anybody else. And, you know, they thought for the last couple of years of fighting this battle that it was about science, it was about what was right, it was some kind of a logical debate. And when they start peeling back and doing their own research into all the issues and find out it's fraudulent science, fraudulent claims, there's no logic behind it, they eventually themselves kind of came into the understanding of Agenda 21, which is kind of interesting. They didn't start out there. They came to the conclusion after 2 years this was not logic and science that was going on here. There was something else.
It's fascinating to watch how the thrust of the environmental movement and the thrust of watershed management and the thrust of national parks and national land preserves under BLM, all these other things, are really all doing the same thing. It's just different tools for the same purpose.
Well, what it's doing is severing you from your property.
Exactly.
They all have that in common, is to sever you from your property.
Right. It's a communist manifesto, basically.
Exactly.
The taking away of private, abolition of private property. Are you two familiar with a book called Report from Iron Mountain?
I'm not familiar with it.
I'm not. Who's the author?
Okay, a lot of people that are in Agenda 21 don't really understand this, so let me kind of maybe put some news in here. Back in the 1960s, a book came out, was published anonymously, called Report from Iron Mountain. And it was allegedly a leaked report from a dozen or so people that had been asked to address the question, how do you justify government in a time of peace? The basic premise being that the only reason people tolerate government at all is for security, and if you take away the threat of war, then how do you justify government? And this was allegedly leaked by one of the people that had participated in the report and published. What then followed was quite fascinating. I think it was a few months later, an individual steps up and saying, well, wait a minute, I was the author, and this was just kind of a hoax. I just kind of threw it out there, but it's really my copyrighted work. And the federal government then stepped in and took over the printing presses and tried to find all the books and destroy them under the argument that this was copyrighted material.
Fahrenheit 454. Go ahead.
Copyright. Actually, at that time, you had to, in order to have a valid copyright, you had to put a copyright on your work from the very beginning and claim a copyright.
Right.
And you certainly couldn't do that anonymously. And secondarily, even if there were a copyright battle, this is a civil matter. The federal government doesn't come in and defend people's copyrights.
Right.
So the whole thing that followed seems to add to legitimacy. Now, you can still buy the book, and it's got 40 pages of preface saying this is all a hoax, but if you skip all that nonsense and actually read the report, the essence of it is people go through very methodically and break down exactly what it is that war does. It supports government and breaks down, I don't know, 6 or 8 general areas, and concludes that war is the best way to justify government, and there's no other way to do that as well. But then it goes through and logically considers other alternatives. And one of the things they came up with is probably one of the best ways to do this was a global environmental crisis.
So that there has to be a common enemy that we're all fighting so that we will give up something in order to fight that enemy.
The goal is to make the people plead for somebody to fix this. Won't somebody fix this for me?
And if you want to justify global government, you need a global problem. And if you really want to break down the current governmental structure, you need problems that cross governmental boundaries. So, for example, we all know about the Commerce Clause in the Constitution and how that has been abused. So what crosses boundaries? Well, besides commerce, air and water are pretty good.
Exactly.
And particularly air, because that flows from country to country. So that whole global warming fraud was there to justify world government. The flow of water is being used to justify these regional governments, as well as transportation in the Bay Area, for example, is now being used to actually change the way people live and the housing conditions that they can live in, because they cross boundaries. And so everywhere you look, the federal model that our country started with, where you had a group of sovereign states who had themselves designated, we're going to have this kind of coordinating body, that coordinating body eventually takes over everything. And what we're seeing is the same process in motion, whether it's at a city level, multiple cities are addressing a transportation problem, and then therefore have, for example, the Bay Area group, or you would see it in the form of what's going on with the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. They're all essentially following the federalist model of starting this kind of coordinating body, which eventually replaces the governmental entities that create it.
Have you in California seen a buckling of the Sacramento bureaucracy to these federal agencies, or does the Sacramento bureaucracy tend to support what the EPA and others are trying to do there?
There's no difference. I mean, the people that have been put in office, whether it's at the state or the federal level, have been systematically placed in there to support these programs. I mean, whether it's Schwarzenegger, here's Schwarzenegger, and everybody loved the guy. California was having real problems with budget deficits, and Schwarzenegger says, yeah, we need to solve the problems, and he gets elected on the basis of what's his solution. He invites in a bunch of New York bankers and then generates a constitutional amendment saying we can go into debt on a permanent basis. Our Constitution said you couldn't carry over debt from year to year.
Right.
So guess what? Now we have permanent, ever-growing debt. So these people are not as hands and separated as we like to think them to be. I mean, Dianne Feinstein is in the middle of all this stuff, and these senators and Boxer, they have a lot of control over what goes on in the local governments. They're tied together. It's not like, two separate things going on anymore. It's not happening that way.
Well said and well explained. It's really a little bit unnerving to those of us in the heartland who still believe the mythology of our federal system to see how rapidly it's breaking down.
It is, and I think that, what I see, I was born in Pocatello, Idaho, and although I've spent most of my life in urban types of areas, I've been in and out of Idaho and Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, Washington all my life. I mean, this is where I go when I really want to get away and kind of touch earth again. And, that 95% of the country that most people, a lot of the urban people don't think about other than driving between cities, that's really where all our water comes from, our energy comes from, our food comes from, basically our national security, because we can feed ourselves, we can take care of ourselves, we have the energy to drive around, and driving, which they wish to take away, the cars is the ultimate freedom, because then you can choose, if you can get in the car, and you have the freedom to go where you want, to work where you want, to go to church where you want, to shop where you want, see your family when you want, wherever you want. They want to take that away. So, it really is an issue to be addressed by our whole country, because that urban area is our true treasury. The U.S. Treasury should be renamed the U.S. Debtory. It doesn't have gold and Fort Knox and hasn't for 50 years, right? So let's be truthful. The Department of Defense should be called the Department of War, which it was when our country was formed.
That's right.
So,
well, that was too honest.
I believe that the rural areas where the battle has to be, fought, because it's the reservoir at this point in time, not only the national resources, but family values and religious values and people that are still pretty decent people. We need to get in there and fight. I hate to say it, but San Francisco Bay Area is almost a lost cause.
Wow.
So we need to get in there and bolster the communities where the battle, we can hopefully win.
Mm.
If it's not affecting you now, it will be affecting you shortly, and you need to be
wherever
aware. Wherever you are.
Yeah.
And I was just reading a blog post, a comment on a blog post on the FEMA remapping. And the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is engaged a statewide, probably nationwide, map modernization project, and it's mapping all the property flood zones. It's updating all the flood zone maps and saying areas that were traditionally not flooded, have never flooded, are being mapped flood zone A, which results in them, the property owner, having to buy flood insurance. It also affects the appraised value of your property or your house. We had one person as our guest who said that their appraised value of their house went down 50% because of being designated floodplain, and they've never had an actual flood. when right. you're talking about blowing up dams and whatnot, that's going to change flood designations for a lot of areas,
right.
a lot of homes, possibly. But it's another mechanism that's being used to get people off their property.
Yep.
And one of those is to devalue their property.
That's right. That's right. Well, people abandoned the heartland during the Dust Bowl. If they could, they probably would have created another Dust Bowl for the same purpose.
Who knows? All right.
Well, these people are pretty vicious. We've got to figure out how to fight back, and we have to be more aggressive, I think.
We do.
Been.
We'll be right back, Kirk. Amanda, wrap us down.
That's it. That's the music, Don. And we'll be back for the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. Our guest today is Kirk McKenzie, and we will be right back.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772, 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Of grass walking down the road. Tell me how long you gonna stay here, Joe. Some people say this town don't look good in the snow. You don't care, I know. Venture a highway in the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know. Surround your daylight there. Seasons crying, no despair. Alligator lizards in the air. In the air. Vision of a falling star, waiting for the early train. Sorry, boy, but I've been hit by a purple rain. Oh, come on, Joe, you can always change your name. Thanks a lot, son, just the same. Venture a highway in the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know. Crying, no despair. Alligator lizards in